Guys, welcome to The Pulse. And we're doing something special today. I'm talking to somebody on today's show that I feel like is like the sister I've never met, because The Pulse comes on Fox Soul right before one of the many shows that Claudia Jordan hosts on Fox Soul. She's done so much in her career. We just wanted to talk to her. And she joins us. How are you today?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm claiming family because we're Fox Soul family, right?
I like it. My birthday's April 12th, so I'll tell you my size. It's cousin, so you can send me my gifts.
Oh, it's like that? We became family quick.
Real quick.
Jump right into it. We appreciate you doing that. You got like, what, two shows now, three shows now? They're keeping you busy on Fox Soul.
Two, and plus I'm also the executive producer of Turned Out with T.S. Madison. I brought that show to the network, and I'm the EP on that, and T.S. Madison is transgender.
Yeah.
And to me, so much more than that. I look at T.S. Madison as an amazing talk show host that just happens to be transgender. And I feel like Fox Soul was amazing with, you know, being open-minded and you know, kind of breaking through that glass ceiling a bit, because you don't really see that. And I'm very proud of that show as well.
Is that part of the reason why? Because you, and we'll talk a little bit about your long journey to get to where you are. You've done a lot. That's what I mean by the long journey. But is that part of the reason why you wanted to be a part of Fox Soul, like just expressing creativity and different ideas?
So I was working in radio in Dallas, and you know, terrestrial radio is very limiting. You know, there's a whole list of words you cannot say, and you know, especially down in the South in the Bible Belt. So I love being edgy and expressive and honest. And not that it wasn't a good gig, because it was, but they ended my show and they canceled it. And a couple days before that, I saw Mike Hill on Fox Soul. I saw a clip and I said, I would love to do a show like that in Texas. I wish there was something like that here, a studio. Mm-hmm. And lately I've been so up on speaking things into existence and manifesting. Like, it's so powerful, your words. So I said it, and the day I got fired or my show got canceled, I hopped on a plane, went to LA and tried out for this other show. While I was there, Mike Hill said, hey, can you fill in for me for 2 days at Fox Soul? I'm like, what are the odds?
Okay.
I go and I'm still living in Dallas. I'm in LA. I go to the studio. I fill in for 2 days. It went really well. And at the third day, when I was about to leave, James DuBose came up to me. He said, hey, I need you back here on Monday. I said, I don't live here. I live in Dallas. He said, make it happen. And making it happen ever since. So it just, I love the platform that you can be unapologetically you, unapologetically Black. And it's really about, we really protect the culture. You know what I mean? And yeah, it's been great. And yeah, you can express yourself.
Yeah. And you do. So
a little bit,
but it's fun. And it's also taking on challenges. It's interesting you mentioned James DuBose. I've only met him through different conversations. For people who don't know, he's running Fox Soul, general manager of Fox Soul. But that sounds very much like him. Like, I had similar conversations. Here's what we want to do. Now, what do we have to do to make it happen?
He's like, figure it out.
Yeah.
So I figured it out. And I was commuting from Dallas to LA on my dime every week and getting hotel rooms to show how dedicated I was. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
And we were forced to do it remotely. But it was a blessing in disguise, because all the shows blew up during the pandemic. We experienced, I think, 4,700% growth.
Okay.
I believe when I started with Fox Soul, we were at 200,000 views. And we are now over 80 million.
Oh, okay. So then believing in yourself and speaking it into existence is something that you are very happy that you did with Fox Soul.
Absolutely. So I'm going to go ahead and say at least 10 more years, 15, 20 years there, and 10xing our viewership.
Okay, look, I'm on the team now, so you keep speaking it. I'm going to go ahead and double down on it and all that. We're going to work together to bring it into existence.
I'm telling you, it's so true. It's, if you guys can take anything from this interview, it is that. Like, I'm always for the underdog because I am one. Okay. And I think that mentality comes from being an athlete and just kind of believing in the impossible. Like, you know what? What gives me the audacity to think I could beat all these other people? I'm just going to have to believe in myself and just say, you know what? I'm going to figure it out. Like James said, figure it out.
Make it happen. And so walk back that, because I was reading about your early life, Junior Olympics, All-American sprinter, like talking about the athlete side of it. And then you did, you know, pageants, did and won pageants. and then did modeling and then did TV shows. Like that whole speaking it into existence and working for it has been your life.
Yeah, I felt like I wasn't born great at anything and I had to really work on it. You know, like I was okay. Like, well, track, I was pretty good right away. But again, it's a sport where there's only one winner and you have to really, really believe in yourself. And I think that carries on to the entertainment business because entertainment business and some sports, it's kind of like winning the lottery when you win, you know, like what makes you think you're going to beat 500 other people for this one spot? I don't know. I just do. And I'm going to keep, I don't really take no for an answer. My friends know that about me. I always tell them the only no I know is K-N-O-W. And I don't know, just like, even with modeling, I was told, oh, you're too short. You're not tall enough. You're too, you need to be thinner. You're too old. And I peaked as a model in my late 30s, which is supposed to be like when you're almost a grandmother or a mother to a model. You know what I mean? Like that's a field where, you know, they want you super young. But for me, all the things that they told me, I you know, no to, I just made it a yes.
Well, and I started rattling off some of that. And that yes has been in a lot of different areas. But I'm curious. So you did the track. You were an athlete. You did the modeling. You were in music videos and what have you. You did reality TV. How did you transition all of that into I want to do media and like have these takes, you know, and influence kind of society? You're an influencer in media.
You know, since I was in eighth grade, I remember being in class and I remember other kids in my school saying, you're funny. I'm like, I am. I didn't think so. But everybody in my family was funny. Like my grandmother had a dirty mouth. She was super hilarious and very honest and had a good heart. All my cousins were funny. So I never thought I was anything special. Like I'm really funny. Mm-hmm. And never in a million years thought I'd be in radio, but I was going to be a biology major in college. I used to read encyclopedias every night. I had chemistry sets. I would always go to rivers and lakes and capture turtles and bring them home and put the water under a microscope. Okay. I know. I went to college and I said, there was a meeting at the newspaper, this college newspaper. And I'm like, I'm going to try this. And then radio station, I'm like, I'm going to try this. And I ended up creating the first hip hop show that my school ever had, Baldwin Wallace. And it was like, you know, they made me go through a couple quarters of playing alternative music. And then I got to do my old school throwback B-sides of all the hip hop albums. And I just got a love for it. And I'm like, I changed my major to communications and broadcasting. And then kind of like one thing led to the next. I didn't think it'd be a career though. And then I ended up on a radio show with Jamie Foxx because I did a commercial with him for Coors Light. And he was like, you're funny. And I'm like, wait, Jamie Foxx, I'm funny. I would tell these stories. And he put me on his satellite radio show.
Yeah.
And I told a story one day about an ex not being able to get a part in this movie. And he was like, you can never not be here. You have to be here every day. And that was what gave birth to my radio career.
I feel like, and I don't know if you feel the same way. One of the things I really enjoy about doing this show and talking to people like yourself is you hear all of these stories that you never would have thought was behind these kind of journeys. And the common thread that I get from people is this, I just didn't give up. I just kept going. People didn't always believe in themselves, but they always believed in the work and the journey. Now, has that been your experience as well with all the people you get to talk to?
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I see a lot of people that have talent and they just don't have that thing that drives them. And I think to me, that's one of the most tragic things that could be. Like you have all the ingredients you need to be great, but you don't have that thing that says you can do it. Mm-hmm. I tell my friends, I'm like, I'm way less talented than a lot of these people that are out there, but I really believe in it. And I want it. So with that being said, like, I feel like the person that has that belief and is willing to work hard, like I will fly, I will crisscross the country twice in like 3 days if it's to go get a check and go work or, you know, make an appearance or speak to some kids. I just don't say no, you know, because I'm like, there's going to be a time when that phone's going to stop ringing and no one's going to ask me anymore. So I'm going to take advantage of it while I can. So, yeah. And I have goals.
I hope we have that in common. That sounds like that part of the whole cousin thing we're establishing now. Now, I hope we have in common. I don't know about some of the other stuff, but so far, that part I'm on board with. You were and are, did reality TV, did Celebrity Apprentice, did the radio show, did a lot of different things that actually you know, I don't know if you like being called a celeb, but you were the celebrity. You were the person kind of there in front of the camera. now in a lot of ways you're in front of the camera, but you're interviewing and talking to people and addressing them. Mm-hmm. Has that been a challenging shift? Like, a lot of times the people who are in front of the camera don't necessarily like turning around and being the one who's asking the question.
I didn't like it sometimes on red carpets, because that's when you can easily get disrespected. Like, I've been on red carpets where you're like trying to ask for an interview and someone may really treat you kind of crappy, because you don't know, they might be high that night. They may have a bad attitude. They just, maybe their publicist is in the way. Just a lot of different factors. So that puts you in a really vulnerable position, especially once you're known, because it can be humiliating where you're like, hey, such and such, can I get an interview? They're like, no. You're like, oh, everybody captures that. Then that becomes a moment. But, you know, luckily we have great bookers and producers. Justin Hart, he's been fantastic at Foxhole, reaching out to people and getting really big interviews. I've had Wendy Williams on my show. I've had Monique. I've had a lot of big people, and it's been pretty cool to have them, you know, say that I feel comfortable talking to Claudia. When I had Claudia out loud with Claudia Jordan, it was like a one-on-one show.
Yeah.
So I already know they're coming. They know it's not a hostile environment. I'm not trying to get a gotcha moment. But like on the red carpet, it's a little more difficult. I don't know if I want to do that anymore, because you can definitely get embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's happened.
That part, I know it's not a gotcha moment. When I started doing this, and it sounds like similar with you, I didn't want to do that. I felt like there was enough people who were kind of doing that. I wanted to have real conversations with people. And what's interesting about it is it seems like, and I don't know if it's, you know, if it's Foxhole, if it's just you, if it's, you know, hopefully The Pulse, people feel more comfortable with the I'm not walking into a gotcha moment situation. Is that why more of this is necessary, or is more of this necessary?
Listen, there's nothing wrong with the gotcha interviews, because I can't lie, we all have a guilty pleasure of sometimes like, oh, did you see what was said on such and such show? Yeah. But I'm all for that, as long as there's also balance. Like, for every one of those, we need a show like The Pulse, a show like Cocktails with Queens, a show like TGIF, where we're not trying to get you and go viral. We just want to give you a chance to kind of say things, you know, get your message out, like, you know, out of your own mouth. I'm totally understanding of how these people feel, because I've been on the other side. Mm-hmm. I know how it feels to be misunderstood, misquoted, to have an interview chopped up and put the most, scandalous part of the interview in a sound clip that didn't really happen that way. So I'm really understanding to that. And I think as long as you remain like that, you're going to be okay. You're never going to have a shortage of guests, because there's enough out there that are like trying to get us or get them. Yeah. You know, and I think most people feel like they're misunderstood, not just celebrities. I just think most people in general feel misunderstood, because we're a microwave society, which is going up for one headline, one quote, and we're letting that redefine someone's entire life or define someone's entire life. People are multi-layered and complex. I may say something today because I was tired or in a mood, and you can just like label me for the rest of my life with that one sentence is nuts.
Well, and in other shows, and again, I hope we're not doing that, but sometimes it happens. But in a lot of those shows, people make those comments, but you don't even get a chance to explain it. You know, so even that one 15, 30 second soundbite had context, but you don't really get a chance to explain it. And I feel like these types of shows are allowing that to happen.
Absolutely. I come from the school of real journalism. I started with a newspaper called the Providence American in Rhode Island. I was an actual newspaper reporter. Mm. And my editor told me one day, if you can't prove it, we can't print it. And we also would write an in-depth article, so you'd really get all the nuances of everything. You know, it's not just like a headline. The headline was in bigger print, but we also would provide a real story. And I think we don't go there anymore. People are getting their news from Instagram. So if your story is more than 140 characters, you're probably going to get misunderstood. So I'm glad we've been on this interview for about, 14 minutes now. And it's like, you're able to get more out. Sometimes it's quick hits, right? Radio, 2 minutes total, the whole thing.
Yeah.
What truth can you really get out of someone in 2 minutes?
Yeah. And they're not comfortable even trying, because they know they don't have a chance to go ahead and address it. So you started off by saying that you go ahead and you speak it. Like, you're going to be honest. You're going to put it out there. I just Googling your name as I'm preparing for this interview. No, because I don't think it's a bad thing. But there's certainly a bunch of things that come out, like you, the recent situation with Russell Wilson, you know,
yes,
where you stepped up and took a pretty hard line, to me, was a, you know, sensible, pretty obvious, I would hope, stance, but it was a controversial stance because you put it out there. As a journalist also, any challenge with I'm putting out these types of statements that are me and how I feel, and now people get to come at you, you know, for what you've put out there?
I will say with that story, it was surprisingly positive as far as like my feedback. I mean, the stuff that I've seen, I didn't see too many negative comments. I was actually pleasantly surprised that there was so much positivity. I think a lot of people in my same shoes, like, we are sick and tired of being represented by the lowest of the low. To say that Black people, like, we should lose our Blackness or be deemed less Black if we exhibit class or intelligence, is such an insult to us kings and queens that we claim we are, right? Yeah. So if we're going to say that we're kings and queens, we can't also turn around and define Blackness by your degree and level of ratchetness, your degree of level of trying to be you're willfully ignorant. You know, like, you know, I keep it real because I, you know, I don't talk like the white man. The white man has the patent on proper English. Are you serious? Have you not heard of Barack Obama? Have you not heard of all these intelligent, amazing Black men and women that we're just, what are they? You know, I just hate that we have a purity test sometimes with Blackness and how it ties into ignorance sometimes. And that's not everybody, because there's tons.
No, absolutely.
Brilliant Black men and women that are proudly displaying their brilliance. But we also have a demographic, a part of us that is kind of glamorizing that element of us. And I think that makes more noise sometimes. If you go to Europe and they only watch our reality shows, they would think that we all behave like that. We're all fighting. We're all wearing these ridiculous lashes and lace front wigs. And we hate each other. We're always throwing drinks in each other's faces. We're defined by that. And I hate that there's one beat, like one note of us that a lot of countries think that we're all like that. It's not the case. There's plenty of us that have summer homes in Martha's Vineyard, that go on vacations to Europe, that are well-read, that go to museums and art exhibits. And we are still Black as hell, okay? We are still Black, proudly Black. That does not take away from us, because we don't all go to just South Beach and Vegas and have limited vocabulary. That don't define the Black people that I know.
No.
All the ones in my circle are very elevated and proud of and educated.
Well, and I think that the thing that I took most from that comment was twofold. One, we get upset when other people want to label us that way. We sit back and say, oh, now you're going to sit there and paint us with this broad brush. And then we do it to ourselves. Like, that was the part of it that jumped out to me the most. And then the other part about it is that we're a very diverse group of people. Like, they're people who represent all sorts of different things, and God bless them. But you're not any less authentic because you're successful and intelligent. Like, that's just stupid.
And I want to make it very clear. Now, there is a difference between the what we deem sellouts or people that have self-hate for their race. Sure. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. And we definitely have some of those amongst our ranks. Hello, Clarence Thomas. Okay. But there's a difference between that type of Black man and someone who's Russell Wilson, who takes care of his family. You don't hear any scandals about him, who's classy. And to deny his Blackness in his Black card and to think we need to reevaluate that is complete BS to me.
Do you enjoy the opportunity to do this, the opportunity to have the platform to take those hardline stances and counter some of the things? Because it's an opportunity that not a lot of people get, but certainly not a lot of people of color get, to go out there and say, no, like, I'm not okay with this. And I have a platform to push back against what you're saying.
I love it. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you're alone on an island, like maybe if your co-hosts don't agree with you, or you may see some of the comments coming in on the live, but there's always people that, you know, the people that do resonate, or what you're saying resonates with them, they'll find you, you know, they'll reach out to you and they'll say, I'm so glad you spoke up against this. I'm so tired. I feel the same way, but I feel like I'm alone in my thinking. I'm always a champion for the underdog and for justice and for what's right. And I always think you should take I always try to put myself in the other person's shoes too. Like, well, maybe it didn't happen like that. Maybe it's not what it appears to be. Because a lot of times things are not what they appear to be. But whoever gets the headline out first is the story, right? And I enjoy having the platform to be able to push back, because I think we need more voices where it's not. Again, we complain, Black folks. We always say, we're not a monolith. We don't all like chicken. We don't all feel this way. We're not all Democrats. We're not all this, that, and the third. Well, then when we'll push back on that, okay, show different perspectives, show different ideas. And I think we need more of that.
How has your time at Fox Soul been received? I mean, you talked about the growth of Fox Soul, and I continue, because I haven't been on that long, but I continue to be wowed when I see the numbers. I go, whoa, like this thing is blowing up. How's it been received? Because I remember when the discussion first started and it was launched, you know, there were people who were going, nah, that can't work. Like that's not gonna work. Then the pandemic hits and it's working and it's expanding and these voices are being heard.
I'm so proud when I go to different parts of the country and I meet I've been in different parts of the world where someone has come up to me and said, oh my God, I love Cocktails with Queens. Oh my God, I love Fox Soul. Oh my God, I love TGIF. I never miss an episode. And they quote things from the show. And I realize we have a real impact. I'm over here in Ghana meeting people that are huge fans of our little show that we do on streaming network. And there's been other people who try to do the same. You know, I think DreamWorks had Quibi. And I know that they attempted to do a streaming service, and I don't think they lasted a year. And here we are, the little engine that could. We didn't have $2 billion behind us. And here we are, you know, really making it happen. I think because we're so authentic. And that's a tribute to James Dubose. I mean, he really cares about the culture and not appearing to pander. Being real, being true, and really... focusing on Black excellence. Like, we don't like to do a lot of like, I won't call it trash, but even the gossip stuff, sometimes I know he's like a little uneasy about that, but he understands how popular that is.
Yeah.
But even when we do those kind of stories, we do like to show a deeper dive. We're not very surface. Like, for example, TGIF, we really go in depth. There's research, there's thoughtful opinions. It's not just like, girl, did you hear such and such got a divorce? Oh, he must be cheating. It's not that. We go into the whys and the what ifs. And I think that was what makes us different than other gossip shows or hot topic shows.
Well,
and then we have great shows. And you know, we have you with the Black Report. We have Dr. Sean. We have Tammy Mack, The Business of Being Black. We have a lot of good stuff there.
You know, it's interesting about that, too. And the Cocktails with Queens, y'all. Y'all have fun. Like
we end up on somebody's blog almost every week. And a lot of times it's Miss Lisa Ray saying something and we're like, oh my God, Lisa Ray. Or actually all of us have been trending from that show.
Yeah. Yes. I watch the show and I sit there and I'm going off and I'm watching the show and I spend half of the show with my face going, oh, okay.
Well, you know, what other talk shows have you seen where you have four celebrities on there that have careers, that have something to lose, that have relationships with the people we're talking about.
Right.
And we're still keeping it a buck. We're still holding people accountable. We're still calling stuff out that we may not like. Like, listen, Jada Pinkett, I know her, but blah, 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 blah. I know this person, but we don't give the fake answers. And I think that's why it feels so different than other talk shows that go, you know, they just give a politically correct response. We don't really do that. We're really four girlfriends having drinks, just chopping it up.
But is that it's a positive thing for the viewer, but for you, because you mentioned that, and you and Vivica Fox and pretty much everybody on that show, you know a lot of the people that you're talking about. So how has that been in terms of, you know, you might see those same people when you go somewhere.
We don't ever get nasty with it. It's pretty honest, and we'll give a reason why, you know? And I think that's what makes it kind of okay, you know? Like, it's not so much where it's like, we're just dragging someone just to be dragging them. So it's very honest. And I think everyone on that panel, very strong personalities. They stand by what they say. If they see the person that they talked about, I think they'd all be like, I said it, and this is why I said it.
Okay.
You know,
we are coming up against the clock. A couple of things, and then I think you've watched the show, so you know how we roll. So you've given advice throughout the whole process, but what's the advice for, you know, for the next Claudia Jordan or for the young person who's watching and I don't know, maybe didn't think there was a chance to be authentically themselves and do it on TV?
I don't think you'll ever get anywhere being a cheap imitation of somebody else. So you might as well be the best version of you. So if you feel a certain way about something, say it. It doesn't have to be what somebody else said. I would try to like think that I should talk like somebody else. And no, I am proof that a girl with a weird accent from Rhode Island with a slight lisp that sometimes stutters, okay? I am a talk show host. against all the odds. It's not really about those things that we used to like kind of like put a lot of importance on back in the day. Really now, even news has changed to very much opinion and your perspective. So if you have a unique perspective and take on something, you can just forget about all those other things that you thought were once barriers. They become part of your charm and people say, she's like this, but I like her. She talk a little fast, but I still rock with her. I feel her. Yeah. So just speak from your heart and you will touch somebody and you will find yourself having a bunch of somebodies as your supporters and you'll be all right. You know, there's a lot of people watching, and just because something else is popular doesn't mean you can't do a different, the opposite of that and still get love. Like, don't be like anybody else. Be like you.
Our general manager here, I used to be on another show that was on in Philly and New York. And when we started that show, our general manager used to say, I am fine with you guys having strong opinions. I want them to be informed opinion. Now, and that part, that was interesting. I see that a lot with your show as well. It's fine to feel a certain way, but back up the feeling with information.
Exactly. And I think we got away from that for a while. Things became very much opinions. Which is fine, but don't call yourself a journalist. Call yourself an entertainer.
Valid. All right, what's next for Fox Soul? What's next for you? What's next for us, cousin? What's the next
That's
step?
That's right. Well, first of all, welcome to Fox Soul. I want to say that.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're just going to continue growing. I have a couple show ideas I want to pitch to James. It's some different directions, not in the gossip space. Definitely more in the relationship space. That's something we can all talk about and relate to. In the financial space, I think we need more of that now more than ever.
Yeah.
So pitching more shows to the network, I want to be more behind the scenes as well. I actually really like being behind the scenes. I'm also directing and producing plays. I have a play called White Lies that I wrote, and it was my first play, and people really seem to like it. So that's going to go on the road, and also some concerts I'm about to start promoting and putting my money up and being the concert promoter, doing that. And I got a film called Mafietta I'm starring in, shooting that next month. Actually, the end of this month. Wait, is it July yet? Oh, next month. Yeah. I don't know what day it is anymore.
July.
Yes. Yes. Just being busy, creating more and just working as much as I can.
You stay
busy. Because I'm about to be 50. I'm about to be 50 in April, y'all. So.
Okay. But that's all right. That hasn't stopped you from doing anything and look good. So that's all good.
It's all good lighting.
So you're doing great. Right. So you're doing great things. If you ever want to produce stuff, that's what I do here in Philly. So let's get together. We'll produce specials. I have a whole department here, like two people. But we do these different specials here so we can work together on something like that.
All right.
And then finally, we end with use your voice for good. How are you using your voice for good? How do you want other people to follow your leadership? What's important to you?
I like us to get away from glamorizing the bad stuff because it's interesting, or, ooh, did you see this fight on Instagram? Or did you see this negative thing? Yeah, we know negative things exist, but now more than ever, I think we need to stop like being okay with sharing the positive stuff. I think we have just been in a really dark era recently. Mm-hmm. So use your voice to promote positivity. If you see a high school student that graduated at the top of his class, or a girl that ran a track meet and ran our personal best, what's post that, share that, share helping someone, like the Burger King guy, the employee that worked for 27 years and he got like a little trinket, little gift bag. I donated to that. I posted that. And now he's got a whole bunch of money now. Like, we need to get back to stuff that makes us feel good, because we have some dark things ahead of us and we're going to need that more than ever. We have to get back to that because it's affecting us collectively as a society. You just see how people are walking around just like, ugh, with all this angst. Let's get back to like the happy times. Like, I feel like the golden era, especially for Black folks, was the 90s. Great music. It was positive. It was fun. Great movies. Nothing was dark. We weren't talking about doing drugs and Molly and Percocet. We were talking about having a good time and doing better.
Yeah.
So let's get back to that.
I like it. I appreciate you taking the time. I, of course, will be watching as I extended the invitation before we got started. If you're ever in or around Philly, you got a studio to come here, do stuff. Come do the show with me when you're in this area.
You know what? I'm going to be going to the East Coast a lot this summer, so I will take you up on that. I like to. You have my email?
Yeah.
Or the producer have it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can you shoot me your email so I have it?
I absolutely will. I will reach out.
I'm serious. We can talk about producing something. I'm all about that.
Let's do it. All right. Okay. We'll talk soon. Thank you so much. This was fun. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime. Bye. Right.
We'll talk soon. Take care. Thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today. I want to remind you that you can listen every week. Just make sure you subscribe. So whenever, or every Monday, when a new podcast comes out, you'll get notified. You can download, you can listen, you can give us feedback. Always reach out to me on social media at BillAFox29. I enjoyed speaking to Claudia Jordan for a lot of different reasons. She's got a lot going on. She is grinding behind the scenes. She's doing a lot of good work. And we share that whole mindset of trying to get more positivity and information out there and be unapologetic about it. So I enjoyed that. I hope you did as well. Remember, if you're in Philadelphia and you want to check out the show, we air at 6:30 Monday evenings on Fox 29. Nationally, you can always stream the show on Fox Soul Monday evenings at 9 p.m. And it's always available to download on different websites, on YouTube, Fox 29, Fox Soul. Just make sure you're keeping track of everything that's going on. And reach out to us. You can follow me at BillAFox29 with all of your suggestions, comments. We look forward to talking to you soon. I always leave with the same thing, and that is, whenever possible, use your voice for good and have a good one.